Dr. Randy here in the Intentional Living Center. I was thinking back in 1965, some of you are old enough to remember that. Remember 1965, the Health Department of the United States said it's time to put a warning label on cigarettes that they had determined they're not healthy, they're not good for your health, and could cause cancer. And of course, there's been warning labels ever since. A lot of people ignore it, but it's there for our protection. And of course, good parents say, hey, kids, no cigarettes, please. You know, we have banned that from the use by young people. Here's a question. The Surgeon General is now considering putting a warning label, a danger label, on social media for kids because of brain development, social development, psychological development in their life. I guess the question would be, if that's the case, will you restrict your kids from social media until they're old enough to have that brain developed to make informed kinds of decisions? Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. I'd just like to talk about, I got all sorts of statistics here and information I'm going to get into on this very relevant topic about social media, the dangers to the developing brain of children and young adults. Ask you to join in. What are you struggling with when it comes to social media or gaming, but social media in particular, with your young people, your preteens and your teens, young adults? How have you handled it? What have you wrestled with? You got a question? You can come and join us. The phone line is open at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. Mitch Prinstein, Dr. Prinstein, who's the chief science officer for the American Psychological Association, which, by the way, is a pretty liberal group of people, they've come out in support of what the Surgeon General is saying is a need for a warning label on social media platforms for kids. Here's what Mitch had to say. He said, "We applaud the Surgeon General calling attention to the potential dangers to children posed by social media platforms." Goes on to say, the American Psychological Association has issued similar warnings in its landmark 2023 advisory. In this report, it goes on to say that research has shown that young people especially are vulnerable to specific content and functions on social platforms that interact with their neuro and psychological vulnerabilities in adolescence because their brain is still developing. See, the brain of a young person continues to develop between age 10 and 25. It doesn't harden until you're 25. That's when they call you hard-headed, right? When you get to that point. But during that period of time, the brain is under development. And one of the things is known about brain development is sleep is critical. That's why you see teenagers needing more sleep. Part of it is their brain is developing so rapidly. And of course, social media can interfere with that when they're taking their phones to bed with them and they're on social media who knows how many hours a day. And you know your kids are getting into that point when they start to roll their eyes about age 10, especially young ladies, because we had two boys and we had one girl, our daughter Andrea. The eyes started rolling about then, right? And that's a point where you understand the brain is starting to develop. They're becoming more aware of their peer acceptance. So there's a lot of things going on in these pre-adolescent, adolescent years in the developing brain where young people are starting to learn how to develop psychologically and relationally with the other peers. And of course, we know the danger that can happen with social media in particular, where I've got the stats here. I don't remember the number. It was staggering. It was 47 or 48% of young people saying they've been attacked online, bullied online, criticized online. Well, what does that do to the developing brain? I mean, what does it do to a fully developed brain for those of us who are adults? It's a big deal. So how do you handle this, parents? What are you doing? What's one thing you're doing to be intentional with your kids when it comes to social media, gaming, and so on, but in particular, social media? Help other parents who are listening. I mean, you guys are in the trenches. Love to hear either what you're wrestling with or what you do. Maybe your kids have not accepted it. Maybe the fallout from all this. This is relevant to where we are today. Phone line is open. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. Going on with this report, it says, we concur with the Surgeon General's reliance on psychological science to offer warnings to protect kids from harm on these platforms. And we join the Surgeon General in urging policymakers to act and help parents dealing with products that are designed to keep their kids engaged for as long as possible with few safeguards for their development and the vulnerabilities therein. And if you've got kids, or if you're a grandparent, you got grandkids, and they love to be on social media, there's always the battle of where's the charger, you know? And whose cable is it to recharge? Things that many parents and grandparents didn't have to deal with years ago that you all are facing today. So what is it that you've learned? Have you said no? Do you simply don't allow your kids on social media? It's a reality. The pressure is there. And of course, when we look at the stats today, where they're headed, we know it's TikTok and YouTube are like number one and number two. Teens less so when it comes to Twitter, now X. And of course, Facebook is not cool, right? Not cool, unless you're old, right? Yeah, the old folks can still go to Facebook, but not the kids. What's a Facebook? We don't do that. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. Phones are starting to come on in. We'd love to hear your thoughts. What have you learned about, what are you doing, actually, about social media and your kids? I mean, this is real life. This is what you're facing. How are you navigating something that likely will have a warning label on it? All right, when you buy it, it'll be right there. Here's a warning label. This could be developmentally harmful to the developing brain. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Let me share five things I think we need to respond appropriately to the defining moments in our life. Number one, let's learn to pray in chapter one and act in chapter two. You know, that order makes a difference. How many of us wait to pray in chapter two, chapter three, chapter four of our life? We get that defining moment, and instead of stopping and sitting and praying and seeking God and getting centered spiritually, we wait until we're in the belly of the big fish. See, we wait until we're in the belly of the beast, and then we cry out to God for survival. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month on the defining moments of our life. I'm comparing and contrasting two really powerful characters from the Old Testament, Nehemiah and Jonah. Jonah prayed in chapter two of his book after he got into the belly of the fish. You feel like you're in the belly of the fish sometimes? Nehemiah was smarter. He prayed in chapter one and then jumped in chapter two. He got fired up and filled up and ready to go. All right, I hope you listened to that lesson. It's for members. It's up online, our featured lesson for this brand new month of August. If you're not a part of the Intentional Living family, why not? Come and join us. We certainly want you to be a part of the team, and we need your help. Your monthly support is a big deal. Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. The psalmist says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? And then answers it, by living according to the Word of God. And so ultimately, the mission is to be intentional. Our seven-word mission, helping you experience life. And in this day, helping you experience your parenting teen life as God intended. All right, what have you all learned? What are you doing with the dangers, with online threats? You can give us a call at 888-888-1717 is the phone number, 888-888-1717. All right, we'd love to hear from you. I'll tell you what, while we're waiting for that first call, we got calls coming. I think Monica's standing by in California. Monica, what's your story?
So I have a niece who I'm very close to, and she's been posting just inappropriate pictures on social media, and it's pretty much every day. And she's got a couple of kids, you know, no father, baby daddy around. And I know it's a cry for help and attention, but when I was her age going through stuff, I really wish I would have had somebody in my life to talk to. She tells me things like she doesn't tell her parents. So I just don't know. I'm praying for her, but what do I say? How do I say it? How do I go about this?
That's really a good question. I would encourage parents, grandparents, nieces, aunts, uncles, if you have influence in the life of your kids or your related kids, that you get smart about social media, because you got to know what's going on. I heard a report this week on probably, I don't know, number one or certainly a huge video game that kids are playing. I've seen kids I know playing it, Roblox, and how pedophiles are able to now get around that system, and warning parents, do you know what's going on? Be aware. You can change settings and maybe they can be changed back. And I saw a stat here that only 20% of parents are concerned about what's going on with their kids when it comes to social media or video gaming. In other words, they trusting their kids, train my kids. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. Yeah, they may, but the people that are on there with them don't, and don't give a rip many times. And so I would just encourage you to get smart. And then secondly, if you think your niece is in trouble, get to the parents. Yeah, but I'd violate confidence. If it's the safety of your niece, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do the right thing. All right, Brennan's on the line in Arizona. Hi, Brennan. How are you?
Vanessa.
Oh, I'm sorry. Vanessa, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Terrific. Go right ahead. What do you want to share about social media?
So my husband and myself, we do not allow social media for our daughter. She will be 15 in August, and we're seeing the benefits of that in the beginning. It was a struggle. She did give us a hard time about it, but through time, we've seen just the outcome, and it's been a blessing. She rededicated her life to Christ, and she's in sophomore in high school, and we're excited to see what God has.
Now, what does she say to you about all of her friends that are on it, and it's not fair, and that kind of thing?
Yeah, she had said that it wasn't fair, and we're just too strict, and especially when she was probably like 13, in the beginning, it was a lot of back and forth, and she didn't understand it, and she would sometimes try to sneak it, but through time, she's realizing that there's just a bunch of garbage on there. She still at times does miss it or want, feel like left out, but for the most part, we've seen a good outcome from that, and protection from her and her mind, all of that.
Which is important. I congratulate you. How do you train her, though, to make good decisions about getting online when she eventually is going to be making those decisions without your help?
My husband has, he's a really good about having filters on everything. So she has a phone, but it's only for like call and text, and she has to request friends, different things. And so in time, that's probably how he's going to do that. Just slowly give her access to different, things that he thinks she might be ready or mature enough for.
What, was she on social media for a while and you stopped it, or she just never got on?
She never got on, but we did find out that she's a pretty smart girl. She tried to at one time, and she did bypass that codes and different things that he had, but he was really adamant about checking in on it. And so we caught her on social media, which is, I believe, TikTok, and immediately took her off, and there were consequences for that.
Mm. All right. Parents, some of you are saying now, wow, I wish I could put some limits on it. It's kind of withdrawal if you stop now, isn't it? Or back off and put some controls in place. All right, Brennan is in Arizona. Hi, Brennan. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? How are you doing?
Good. Good. What do you want to weigh in on social media?
Well, yeah, it said social media and gaming. And yeah. The gaming part was what hit me. Lately, the Lord has been convicting me on gaming, my son and I, playing video games. And, you know, what God has been teaching me about gaming is that it's a pretty much like it's witchcraft. We're allowing these demons into our life that will lead to depression and anxiety and fear. And lately, I've cut it off with my son. He hasn't been able to play certain games, and I've noticed, you know, with spiritual warfare and whatnot, that, you know, he's not afraid as much. Fear is gone, anxiety is gone, depression has lifted from our family and whatnot. So, and I don't want to be super spiritual about it, but when we allow our children to play these things, we're pretty much allowing these demons to attach to their soul.
Yeah. Hey, how much time were you guys giving to great gaming in the past?
A lot. It was like way too much, and I just cut it off completely.
Was there a withdrawal period for you?
For me, myself, kind of. Just recently, I had, you know, I wanted to go on the Xbox to like watch a movie, and the Lord said nope, and I felt like, all right, nope, this is a stumbling block. It can lead to stumbling blocking, but I honestly didn't feel like I had any much of a withdrawal of it. I just replaced it with the Word of God.
Yeah. What are you doing to fill that time?
The Word, reading the Word, praying, worshiping, pressing in with my family, fellowshipping. We're getting more involved with our church, serving more, and we're just seeing God move. Like the blessing that we're seeing with like the nearness of God, just due to cutting those things off and just like, as a sacrifice to God. Like, you know, God, we don't want this stuff in our life. And we've just been feeling like the nearness of God, the fruits of the Spirit just flowing from us.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a blessing.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Brennan. Talking about gaming, here are some interesting stats. 41% of kids are saying that playing games have really impacted their sleeping, which we go back to the brain development. That's one of the concerns that the American Psychological Association and the Surgeon General have, is that kids are not getting as much sleep, in part because they're gaming so much or on social media or just online, and they need their sleep. 80% of teens think harassment over video games is a problem for the people their age. And boy, you don't need that. Kids don't need to be harassed. They got enough of that in the world today. 85% of U.S. teens report playing video games. 41% say they play them at least once a day. And 4 in 10, that's 40%, say they identify themselves as a gamer. All right. So we're talking about social media and specifically, but I suppose the whole experience, the digital experience of kids today. Someday we can talk about AI. That's going to be the next big discussion. But just staying focused on how do you manage this thing that you have or that's around your home that's getting into your lives. Let me go to Cindy in Arizona. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good. How do you handle this social media thing and the kids?
So I have a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. And just like you were saying, it's very crucial and critical at that point in their lives that, you know, parents are very much aware of this. It's kind of sad that some parents aren't, because as you were saying earlier, you know, those predators are definitely online and they find a way to get around stuff. And just because, you know, roadblocks is a big thing. Yeah. Lots of these kids play it. And, you know, my kids come to me and they're like, well, why can't we do this? And I'm like, because of the dangers. I have made them fully aware. And now they go to school and they spread that with their friends and telling them, you shouldn't watch YouTube. It's bad for you.
How do you manage it, though? I mean, are they still on there? I mean, how do you make sure what's going on? I mean, they may be innocent, and most are, and they get sucked in by people who are adults and mean evil, or those who are really going after the addictive nature, which can be part of the whole gaming process just to keep you hooked.
Right. My children do not have access to the internet or tablets or things like that. I believe at this age, kids should be kids. We go outside, we hike, we go to our church, Zion City. They're very amazing. We continue to walk with Christ and, you know, divert from all these games that are out there. Because just like your previous caller was saying, it is a way for other beings to slip in.
Yeah, that's true. It can be a huge problem. All right, thank you. You know what's curious is my guess is 80% of my listeners here today have this as a problem on your problem list with your kids or grandkids, or at least a concern. And yet the number of callers have been kind of light compared to some of the other topics. And I'm just wondering if it's because you're saying, I haven't figured it out. Help me. And so that's really the question as we try to help each other. What is one thing you are doing? Let's go. We got just a few more minutes left in the show today. What is one thing that you're doing, one thing you've learned, one thing you're focused on to be intentional about that that tool that comes into your home, especially when it comes to social media and the developing brain of your kids? Let's go. 888-888-1717.
We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And your support is making a difference. It keeps us going here at Intentional Living. We're reaching people here and around the world through our podcast, radio program, through our events, publications. We've got a new book coming out in September on Declutter Your Life. We'll talk more about that coming out in September. Excited about it. And we'll tell you how to get that in a moment or in a few weeks. But we're listener supported. Thank you for your prayers and support at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Or going to 888-888-1717 and press number 2 during West Coast business hours. Talking about social media and our kids or grandkids. And we should be paying attention when the Surgeon General of the United States is saying, hey, maybe it's time for a warning label. And the American Psychological Association is saying it's time for a warning label on this for the developing brain. And they're not coming out because they're concerned necessarily about the spiritual development of our kids, right? We are. But they're just concerned about these kids and the influence on the developing brains and their identity and who they are. This is a tool that can be used for good and it can be used for evil. I like to remind parents that we lock our doors at night, turn on the porch light to kind of protect our house and our home and our family. We don't generally go to bed and just leave the door wide open, let anybody come in. And yet in some homes, unfortunately, the kids are sitting over in the corner with the phone or a tablet, and they're doing their thing. And and many times a parent or grandparent assumes everything's okay until you look over their shoulder and say, what's that? Where's that coming from? And so how do you handle that? How are you being intentional to handle this in a great way, in an effective way? Molly, how are you handling that in Michigan? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So I was just telling Steve on the phone that a way that we do it at our student ministry is that we actually go where the kids are. For example, if your kid is on Snapchat or Roblox or something, we actually encourage parents to jump on that as well, just to make sure that you are with your student and growing with them. That way you also know what they're learning about or what they're posting, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, to be on with them, actually on their site, seeing what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How effective is that in telling parents to do that, do you think, in your youth work? How effective are parents in managing this?
I think it helps a lot of parents see what their student is looking at. And it also gives you a great insight of like what they are learning. I know that the dangers of social media are really scary, but if your student is only watching, you know, YouTube videos that are on churches or, you know, those are also great tools to use to help your student grow. Just making sure that you're watching those with them. And if they have a question, to also be there and interchange with them as well, have those conversations.
What are your students telling you? Do you think that they feel their parents are involved or don't know what's going on, or they pull the wool over their eyes, so to speak? Or what do you think?
Yeah, I think students a lot of the times think that parents don't know what they're doing. And I know that we do. We do know a lot more of what we're doing. And so a lot of the times, you know, it will get them to think about second posting something, be like, oh, like, what if my parents see this? And thinking that, or, oh, like, I see this thing, I have a question about it. They're able to just, like, they can send that video to their parents and talk about it.
That's good.
With them.
All right, getting the parents involved. Great idea. All right, thank you, Molly. Glad you're listening in Michigan. We got 1 minute, Hester. We want to know what your thought is on this thing. Go right ahead. Did I not push the button? There you go. Hester, are you there?
1 minute, Hester. We want to know what your thought is on this.
All right, go right ahead, Hester. Okay. Are you there? Yes.
My thought is my son is just graduated from college. I did not do social media for my children. It was only Friday night through Saturday. They had to do sports. They weren't allowed to play Call of Duty, any fighting, anything like that. My son was just home this weekend before he went off to graduate school, and he Zoomed all his friends and showed them that he could play Call of Duty in my house because he was grown now, and he thought that was really a funny joke, and all the kids were laughing and stuff like that.
I'm old enough now that I can do that. All right, thank you, Hester. We got to run on this topic today. Hey, listen, I appreciate your calls. Our objective is this. We want to help you to experience your life, and today, talking parenting, we want you to experiencing your parenting life with your teens as God intended. It's your job and my job in our homes to set the standard, set the controls, do it lovingly. At the same time, we got kids growing up in a digital world. That's just a fact, and they're going to have to face it. And it's going to be a help, and it's going to be a danger like anything in life. The question is, how are you as a parent setting the stage to help them learn to make good decisions? They have to make decisions about alcohol, about relationships, about drugs, and now about the digital world and the AI world coming. And our job as parents, here it is. This is why this ministry exists. We want your kids and you to experience life the way God intended. When you do that, that's intentional living. Thanks for your prayers and support. We got to run. We'll talk more about this another day on Intentional Living.